the show.
You have all made it through the dance. You have all made it.
Coming to you from the X-Access, it's John of All Trades with your host, John X.
Welcome to the John of All Trades podcast, episode 56. I'm your host, John X. Thank you for joining us. Glad to have you back once again on the John of All Trades laid off special. That's right. Got laid off last week. Last Tuesday, in fact, was my last day at my corporate gig. I'm done. I'm out on my own. Launched my own communications firm. Got laid off Tuesday. By Wednesday, sent out a press release announcing the new venture. Now, did I do all that work on Tuesday night? You bet your ass I did. You know? Take control of your own narrative. What am I going to do? Well, you know what? I'm going to try and land on my feet, and we're going to announce it. I'm in PR. That's what I do. I was a corporate communications guy for a large corporation. They, for whatever reason, got really touchy about this podcast, which now they don't have to worry about it. This is not under their area of concern anymore. But you know what? I am not a bridge-burning guy, and I'm not even bitter at them. I'm not upset. I'm not mad. I don't hold any ill will towards the company. But they could be a little bit touchy when it came to this. So I'll just say that I did public relations, corporate communications, media relations, all sorts of stuff for this company, and I do so no longer. So with that in mind, wanted to bring you this week's episode. Episode 56, the laid off special. I talk with two guys. I basically put the word out on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, all of my social networks, and I said, is there anyone out there who has, in their experience somewhere, been laid off? And are you willing to come and talk with me about it? So we did it this last Sunday. We sat in my basement. One of the guys had beers with me. The other one was just drinking water. I don't know. That's his choice. That's fine with me. But I was going to say we were all drinking beer, but that's not factual. Although this is, you know, audio, so who fucking can tell the difference? Regardless, I asked them, you know, hey, what was it like when you went through getting laid off? What were the circumstances? And then how did it come down? And then as a result of that, what did you do? Like, what came next? How did you rebound from it? You know, what were the next steps for you? And I just wanted to put it out there because this show is designed to talk about things that we see, things that we experience, things that we all know, but don't really explore with any depth. And that's what I hope to achieve here. And I think that's what we did on this week's episode. It was a lot of fun to do, and it was sort of cathartic. Now, a quick legal note, I just want to put this out there. I haven't even said the name of my company, and I don't in this episode. I don't talk about the names of anyone I dealt with. And we don't talk about the nature of the packages we received. We don't talk about the money. We don't talk about the benefits associated with that. There's nothing material in here about that. I mean, you'll hear us talk about, you know, sort of what we were feeling and what led up to it. You know, how did you know it was happening? And did they bring you into a conference room? Did they send you an email? Whatever, right? We get into that, but there's nothing here substantive about that because I'm very aware, as are they, that that's the type of thing that is not discussed. I mean, you sign an agreement, you say, okay, we're severed, and I will not talk about the nature of this. So we don't, and we basically want to talk about what we were feeling and what came as a result of the layoff. So that's what this episode is about. That's what we explore. That's what these two guys, we've got Kyle Krieger here and Neil Ramirez. I'll sort of introduce them as the episode goes on. And they don't have anything to plug, which is kind of remarkable. We get to that at the end of the episode. They both basically just tell me something they like, which is kind of fun. No one is selling anything. But they had very, very different experiences. And mine was sort of similar to Kyle's a little bit because we were both in the corporate world. And Neil was different because he was in the teaching system and got laid off from his school district. So what can I say? Things like this happen in your life. And it's how you deal with it and how you come out the other end that matters. It doesn't matter that it happened. What matters is what you do as a result of that. So, taking a step forward. Now, a couple of notes here. The name of the company that I launched is Deft Communications. So, it's a communications consulting firm. We specialize in media, in training, in engagement, all of your corporate programs that you could possibly need. That's me. So, check me out at deftcom.us, which is deftcom.us. That is my new venture. It's exciting, And I'm proud to announce they are the official producers of the John of All Trades podcast. Now, got to give some love to our sponsor, of course. They help with the back end. They help us get rolling. And coincidentally, they help me build deftcom.us. So 4Degrees, the number 4, DEGRE.ES. It's your one-stop shop for all your online communications needs. Anything that you are doing online, they can help you do it better. If you are looking to reach that one customer that you cannot touch and you want to do it in a cost-effective way, contact 4Degrees. Grassroots marketing, viral marketing, social media advertising, everything and more, they have it for you. They helped me with DeftCom. So, the number 4, DEGRE.ES, as well as Deft Communications, DEFTCOM.US. So, this week's episode, number 56 of the John of All Trades podcast. The other thing I meant to note, this is going to be the last one for a little while. I got to get set up with Deft, so we're going on hiatus. Don't know how long, but I will put an announcement on the blog. So go to johnofalltrades.us. That's, of course, J-O-N of all trades.us. Also on Facebook and Twitter, look us up, J-O-A-T pod. Now then, enough gum flapping, enough announcements. It is episode 56. It's the laid-off special. We've got Neil, we've got Kyle, we've got John. They've all gone through layoffs, and they're here to tell you about it. The episode begins right now.
I didn't. I did boot camp yesterday.
Okay. Oh,
I lied just there.
Okay. You went down to Castle Rock, right?
Yes.
Okay. And how was it down there?
It was good. It's beautiful when you come down I-25 and you see, like, I think it's Pikes Peak there, but there was a giant house fire, so it was really smoky.
That sounds fun.
Yes.
And Neil, what were you up to yesterday?
We went to the Rockies game yesterday.
Okay. For you, though, the Cubs game, right?
All right, exactly. I try to, if it's in Denver, I try to call it the Rockies game, even though I'm a Cubs fan, just because it keeps the level of hatred off my Facebook page.
Right. And as a Cub fan, though, I mean, one thing I've found is the visiting Cubs fans can be really obnoxious.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I find that kind of appalling.
It's hard to sometimes be Cub fan and, like, fly on, because I consider myself to be pretty even keeled, and it's sometimes hard to, like, fly under the radar.
Right.
As, like, while some drunk idiot next to you in a Santo jersey is screaming at some kid, you know.
Right. I was here. I went to a Cubs Rockies game one time in like 94, so it was pretty early on. And this super drunk guy got in this other Rockies fan's face and they fought. And I go, dude, really? I mean, this is Rockies Cubs. Give me a break here.
Yeah, and it was probably the middle of August and neither team were in the playoff
hunt. Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of embarrassing behavior, but yeah. You know, what are you going to do? So sitting here in my basement, and this is the John of All Trades laid off special. And I put the word out to my Facebook friends, my Twitter friends, and got two people willing to talk about being laid off. So sitting here with Kyle Krieger and Neil Ramirez. And thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
And so you're both gainfully employed now, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, but at some point you have been laid off, as I was just last week, which was kind of a surreal experience. So let's jump right into it. Kyle, why don't we start with you? When did you get laid off, and set the experience up for us a little bit?
Yeah, I got laid off in 2009, and I think that was kind of the employment trend of the year.
Right.
That was the recession.
Right in the middle of the downturn, right?
Yeah. So that was not too fun. I was working for Yahoo at the time. And I was selling job advertisements,
okay,
which is pretty much the worst product to sell in a recession.
Were you here in Denver doing that?
No, I was in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
I moved to Oregon. It's a classic thing. Like, you go, it's like the horror film. Like, you walk, and they're like, don't open that door. And, like, early 2008, I was like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to relocate, buy a house. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. And sell job advertisements. And
watch the bottom fall out of the economy, right?
Absolutely. It was a dumpster fire. I think they hired 25 people at the end of it. There were 9 people. And I think we were drinking every Wednesday and Friday in the office. It just was just the only people who were making money were selling multi-level marketing ads on job advertising space. So that, it was a pretty dark time.
That sounds like some corporate horse shit.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of corporate horse shit that went on, and it was quite obvious when it happened. You know, and you probably know this, like, the days leading up to it, you know, there's, oh, you know, oh, I'm going to, you know, I, we were using Yahoo IM. I don't even know if that exists anymore. I think it was through the mail program. It did people in New York, you know, in the right. New York office. Oh, did anybody get laid off? And yeah, it was just kind of a, it was just kind of a strange experience. And, I had relocated. I just moved from San Francisco without really consulting with my then girlfriend, my now wife and mother of my child.
Right.
So that almost ruined a relationship. She moved up here, bought a house. So it was a really bad time with not a lot of good prospects. So it was an uncomfortable situation.
Wow. Okay. I want to get to the specifics of how it happened here in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Neil, how long ago did it happen for you?
Well, it was probably, I've been in the oil field now for 6 years. So it was
6 years. You've been in the oil field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was about 7 years.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been 7 years ago. And then, you know, that was the last time I was, teaching high school.
Okay.
And,
whereabouts?
In the Brighton area.
Okay.
And really just have, there was a small district that had two high schools, and one high school had been in existence since the 1800s, and
yeah.
The school I was working at was brand new, so most of the teachers there were pretty young, and they didn't pass a bond, so they had to get rid of basically any teacher without tenure lost their job.
So how long had you been there?
2 years.
Okay, just 2 years?
Yeah, just shy of tenure.
And, jeez. And you
which is a whole nother podcast waiting to happen.
What, talking about tenure?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My mom was an elementary school teacher, and I mean, she has some very pointed thoughts about some of the tactics of the union and, like, the way – just, like, schooling in general. And one of the episodes we did was actually with a teacher, and we had to do it confidentially because, like, all of a sudden you're on record for, like, the district and for the entire, like, school system as a whole, which that's not what we're looking to do. But you were one of how many?
I was one of 20 at the school I was at, and I think they lost 30 overall throughout the district.
Okay. And so at that point, you're just like, okay, no, I'm done with teaching at that point?
Or? Well, no, I tried to get back into teaching, but the weird thing about it is like you guys, we probably have a different conversation, but I feel like when you lose your job teaching, it's like this Hester Prynne scarlet letter you have to wear around.
Oh, wow.
And, like, I personally feel like I've been a little bit blackballed from teaching because it's like, you know, it was actually the second time that I got non-renewed is what they call your contract gets non-renewed.
Yeah, right.
And the first time I just took it as, like, I said I resigned and then I don't have to report it. But they make you report it up to 15 years ago. If you've been non-renewed up from 15 years, they make you tell you on the job application.
Why?
I have no idea. I assume it's one of the ways they use to clip people out of the interview process. Because I have had one interview since I got non-renewed.
Yeah.
And I have applied for probably 300 jobs.
Jeez, man.
Wow.
That's surreal to me.
Yeah.
Because you hear about teacher shortages and you hear about the crisis in the school system. And for that to exist and for that to seemingly follow you around, That seems counterproductive to what they're trying to do.
Oh, yeah, completely. It just, and, like, you know, they could say that it's, you know, somebody else has already deemed you as, like, not a worthy applicant, but at the same time, they don't even bother to ask me why it all happened or because, you know, you can put on their left for budget cuts, you know.
Right.
But they're not, you know, nobody's going to necessarily believe that and nor care, I guess, at the end of the day. And I feel like they just see that non-renewal, and then they just move me down the list.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah.
So you totally, I mean, after some trying, you totally shifted gears. Kyle, what'd you do afterward?
I actually went back to what I was good at prior. Okay. I went back into the gas detection industry. So you being in the oil field's probably worn a gas monitor.
Uh-huh.
And that's that was kind of the industry was my bread and butter. So I went back into that industry.
Were you originally in that?
Yeah. Yeah, and then branched out, wanted to, you know, I was living in Silicon Valley, I was living in Sunnyvale, and,
right.
you know, like, people ask me, what do you do? I sell gas tickets. Like, what? What so I mean? Said, yeah, okay, it's time to, like, break out and, you know, kind of get part of this, and so that was my foray into the internet.
Okay. So you said you moved up to Portland just kind of on a LARF, right?
The boss, I really liked the boss that I worked with, and I'd worked for Yahoo for, like, 6 months in San Francisco, so in my head, I was like, all right, let's do this corporate equation. You move up, you put yourself out there on a limb, maybe I can get promoted easier, it's a faster track,
right.
and, you know, lower cost of living in Portland, let's do it up. And this was before the whole Portlandia stuff, so the only thing I knew of, like, Portland was, like, I guess, flannel, irony, coffee, and the Trailblazers. Like, that was it.
Right.
And so that's why I decided to, the boss who I worked with, he's just a... He was great, and I really had a great rapport with him, and so that's why I decided to move up there. And yeah, it just didn't quite turn out.
There's a comedian named Matt Bronger who is from Portland, and he said, I lived there when Portland wasn't cool,
mm-hmm.
and he said it's basically burned out old hippies and murderous lumberjacks. Was that reflective of your experience?
I would probably add, like, sensitive drivers.
Sensitive drivers?
Yeah, they have the best driving ever up in Portland.
Like, seriously?
Yeah, they're fantastic drivers. Like, they're
like
just,
courteous? And what?
Yeah, really courteous. Like, stopping at a stop sign, if all four cars are there, it's just constant. No. But everybody's really nice up there. That's a one weird thing about Portland.
Okay.
Well, one of many, but yeah.
Well, okay, that's really cool. So, refresh me, how long had you been there until you got laid off?
Oh, we were up there and, I think, oh man, it was about, I want to say we were only up in that Portland area for like 7-8 months.
Okay.
And
wow.
So the experiment just didn't go well. They just said, hey, we're going to have you guys focus on just all new business, small to mid businesses, selling, job advertisements. And it just didn't go well. And, they wanted to ramp up really quick, realized it wasn't working, ramped it down. And then eventually they just had to cut the whole thing loose.
Okay. So what was the experience like for you? Like, how did it come down? So you said, like, you guys are exchanging Yahoo IMs, which is just charmingly ridiculous.
Yeah.
And, so, like, what day of the week did it happen? What was the process like? Walk us through that.
Yeah. Okay. So I think, man, I don't know. I think it's like a war memory. I think it happened like on a Wednesday.
Right.
I'm just going to say a Wednesday. And, you know, it was kind of obvious because they make it so uncomfortable, because not in normal days is everybody just saying, excuse me, can you go into this conference room one by one? So you kind of knew what was going on.
So were you, like, you were watching people, like,
yeah.
back and forth?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's
gross.
Yeah, and that's just weird. You're just sitting there and, you know, so. You go into the room and it's the boss who I really like.
It's like the fucking Green Mile. Right?
It's horrible. It's horrible. Yeah. You walk in there and it's kind of like that scene from Office Space without, like, the role reverse. You just don't have the power to, like,
right.
Yeah, hang out with, was it the Michaels?
No, the Bobs.
The Bobs. Bobs. Yeah. I was getting thrown by the Michael.
Well,
Bob
hi, Bob.
Reference. Hey, Bob.
Bob.
Yeah, Bob. So yeah, you just kind of walk in, and the boss who I worked with and being at Yahoo is really kind of a soft corporate culture. And it was just kind of obvious. They had a packet in front of them, and I'm not signing a mortgage that day. Or anything like that. So I'm really not,
right.
you know, expecting a pamphlet.
There's no notary.
No, yeah, exactly. Like a stenographer in the corner. Yeah. So
it's our new business model. You guys are selling Amway.
Yep. Yeah. Here's how it goes. And here's how you sit down and close this deal. So I sat in and it was kind of obvious what happened. And then they had, which is really strange. So then I interview.
Did they give you like a prepared spiel that they read to you?
Yeah, okay. A prepared spiel. They read it. And then they send me off to this other guy who was kind of, I don't know, supposed to be like a kind of like just like a teddy bear kind of guy. And, you know, well, how are you feeling right now? It's like, sure, a random stranger with a tie who I don't know. Let me just completely go about this.
Hey, guy I've never met. Let's talk about my feelings.
Yeah, now that you ask, let's sit down. And so I just kind of was really positive, and he was almost shockingly like,
yeah.
Oh, well, you're being really positive about this. And I said, that's kind of what I'm going to do. I think I put a Facebook status saying just got laid off, and yeah, that was kind of how the experience went.
Did you go get fucked up?
Oh boy, that was fun. My buddy and I, Matt, we went. I think I sent this to you in a Facebook message, but yeah, we went downtown and we went from bar to bar. And then as we're talking,
downtown Portland, right?
Downtown Portland, yeah. And we went.
Was the scene cool then?
Yeah, it's always cool. I mean, yeah, it was fine. I mean, it was middle day drinkers Wednesdays.
Oh, totally.
So we were going up to
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah, so we were going up to bartenders and telling them we got laid off for sympathy shots, and it totally worked.
Fact.
And then we actually came up with an idea for a new business, and it was a bar called Layoffs, because layoffs are really popular. And the theme of it was a social gathering place where people who had just been laid off would go and bring their resume and have a beer. And people who are looking for... Yeah, it's a networking bar completely dedicated to networking, because you have the sorrow of being laid off and the excitement of new jobs. So you're just pulling in talent from one or the other. It was a terrible idea, but and it was called... The bar was going to be called Layoffs. We were just going to be real, you know, straightforward.
Yeah. Well, it's like How I Met Your Mother. The bar is called Puzzles.
Yeah.
And what you have to...
that's the puzzle.
That's the puzzle, exactly.
So, So, so yeah, that was the...
It's too bad LinkedIn was trademarked.
That would have been a better idea. But, so that's how I, you know, very productively ended the
You should have called it Drunkden. Because that's like LinkedIn, but for drunks who just got laid off. So, I don't know.
I don't know.
It could still happen.
It could. We could still do it.
You're still workshopping it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just got to work it out.
Five, 6 years later.
Just need more collaborators.
Yeah, no, totally. That's why we do this. So
exactly.
Maybe some ideas will spring forth on Twitter. So, Neil, how did it unfold for you?
So, teaching obviously is a completely different animal. They try and be corporate, but they're not. And the weird thing was that, so the way it happened, they told us, in March, it was the Friday before spring break.
Okay.
And they did it in the absolute most personal way possible. They sent a mass email. So,
you basically got the job equivalent of getting broken up with by text?
Exactly.
Sweet.
Exactly. I got the job equivalent of being broken up on Yahoo Messenger. So they sent us an email, and it was, it was Denver Restaurant Week, and we had gone out to the Palm downtown with a bunch of friends. And I thought I was pretty safe. I coached two sports. I was heavily involved in student activities.
What did you teach?
World history, 10th grade, social studies, and geography. So I thought I was pretty safe. And, you know, we went out with a bunch of friends, and they said they were going to send the emails at 7 o'clock on Friday night. So we went out to dinner, had some fun.
I gotta stop you, because as someone who does professional PR...
Oh, it's the most ridiculous.
When you send something on Friday afternoon or Friday evening, you're trying to bury it, which is so fucking tacky. Like, if you're going to do it, like, just step up and do it.
But
Friday night, fuck you and fuck that.
So then, the email comes through, and they BCC'd us, so nobody could see who else got
it. Jesus Christ.
Nobody could see who else got canned. But it was a total, canned, we're sorry to inform you. You've been one of the people let go. Please schedule a meeting with the principal to discuss this further. And it was February. I still had an entire season of baseball to coach. I still had basically 3 full months of school to teach.
Yeah.
And basically they're telling you that you have no job in 3 months, but please do it to the utmost of your abilities for the next 3 months.
Dude, you say they try to be corporate, but they're bad at it. No, that is the most corporate fucking thing I've ever heard.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it was, and then so I sent a reply email to the principal, and then I called a bunch of my friends and told them what happened.
Yeah.
And then set up a meeting for him next week, and just the most ridiculous BS meeting ever. Oh, it's not you personally. It's all budget cuts. You know, if it was up to me, we'd be keeping you, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, at the same time, there were teachers that I feel like basically he gave the head of the department the choice, and she didn't like me. So I was gone. And so,
it was basically your line manager that fucked you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I gotcha.
So, you know, it was kind of that deal. But it was just, and then I had 3 months to teach out, and then he had the audacity in the email to be like, please do not discuss this with students.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not going to not tell them. They all knew. That's the other thing. All the students knew on Monday that 30 teachers had been let go, and they were all trying to figure out who it was.
Oh, of course.
And so, you know, I'm like, I'm not going to not tell them. So I had a frank discussion with most of my students, and we moved on, and I think I worked out the year pretty well, because I was, and they told us early, which is another thing of corporate bullshit, is that they told us early so that we would have time to get new jobs.
Right.
And, you know, it was just, there were no jobs to be had anyways.
Well, hello. I mean, they're cutting jobs.
Yeah, exactly. So, and they weren't the only ones doing it. So, yeah, it was just a surreal experience. And like I said, I had a whole season of baseball to coach. We hadn't even had tryouts yet.
Jesus.
And, you know, I think I did pretty well, but there were a couple of, like, I just had absolute blowout moments where I'm like, I'm not dealing with this bullshit anymore. Yeah. And one of them, I can remember, it was the last baseball game of the season. I was the head freshman, sophomore baseball coach.
Mm-hmm.
And we had rolled through. I think we lost one game, and we won every single one by mercy rule.
Wow.
And it was, you know, they were just, I'm not going to say I'm not a good coach, but they were just, we were heads and tails above our competition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in numbers. And so, you know, it was the final game of the season. We're playing Westminster, and they just went out and laid a fucking egg. I think we had 10 errors in the first inning.
Jeez.
And they were up.
It's like beer league softball.
Yeah, it was worse than beer leagues. I played on softball teams that could have got out of that inning faster. And, you know, they were just losing it. And I had a nice buttermaker moment, and I was throwing helmets in the dugout and
pulling a Bobby Knight.
Yeah, just getting pissed. And, you know, we finally got out of the inning, and they all circled around me. And I think I dropped an F-bomb or something. And,
what are they going to do? Fire you?
Right, exactly. Yeah. That was kind of my thought at that point. And I ended up, like, they had all circled around me, and I don't like people behind me anyways.
Yeah.
And a kid had been behind me, and I, like, turned around and went out, and I pushed him out of the way.
Yeah.
And then it became this huge deal with the athletic director and one of the parents, and it was ridiculous. Cause I said fuck, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, but that was basically my experience. And then the good thing was, I mean, our severance was that I got paid through the entire summer. Yeah. So I basically just did nothing for that summer, and that was, that was my layoff experience. And then I subbed for a year in the same district.
Oh, Jesus.
Was, yeah. But I got a day. I knew I would have a job every day, which is why I did it. But.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's kind of like, that's like breaking up with a girl and then having casual sex with her. It's like,
no, it's I think it's actually like breaking up with a girl and then watching her have casual sex.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. You show up and you're like, oh, that's nice.
Cause you get like a tenth of the pay for doing the same job.
Oh, that's some bullshit. How did your players react to it when, cause I mean, you were their coach and you guys were killing it.
Yeah. And I mean, it was kind of one of those things like, you know, we had talked about the experience of your coworkers, how they feel when you leave. And I thought, I thought of my students and my players as my coworkers, and they were distraught over it. I'd coached baseball there since the school opened. And so a lot of them, I'd had their older brothers and knew them. And like, you know, it was kind of one of those things they all thought I was good at my job, and nobody could understand it.
Yeah.
And so it was just, there were a lot of tough conversations on that level.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird. And the fact that, I mean, it was drawn out over like 3 months, that's kind of appalling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you have to go there every day and, you know, still.
And you're going, you're like, what's the fucking point?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and then they can hold the, well, you need to, and teaching is still one of the places where I think recommendations actually matter.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you kind of got to like wait it out to get that recommendation letter. If you don't have a recommendation letter from your former principal, it's going to look real bad. And,
right.
You know.
Oh, man, that sucks. So. You brought up an interesting point, which is something we talked about before we had the mics on, so I'll go ahead and get into it. But the experience for me was really weird because I kind of had a sense it was coming. And so mine was very corporate, very large company. And we were told we were going to have a smaller staff. And we were told that like 2 months ago. And it was just like vague like that. So the problem is, and again, I'll come back to PR, if you don't tell the story yourself, someone else is going to tell it for you. So rumors were just rampant, as I'm sure, like, in the 3 months that it happened to you. By the way, how long did it persist for you, Kyle? And, how long, like, was there a hint of it? And then was it, like, a couple of weeks or a couple of months or what?
Yeah, the hint was we weren't selling anything. And then the stock market was going crash and, you know, like, I think Lehman Brothers or whatever went on.
Right.
So those were the obvious hints. But, yeah, it was kind of in the air for probably, I want to say, like, a good 2 weeks.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a worrywart, so, of course, yeah. I was, like, thought it was happening sooner. But, and then, yeah, so it wasn't that long for me.
Right. So for me, you know, you saw that and everyone's worried, like everyone's asshole puckers as soon as that email goes out and speculation starts running rampant. You know, I think it's going to be me. But in your bones, you kind of feel that it's coming. Like, you know, it's one of those things like, I remember in high school, one of my girlfriends was going to break up with me. And for like a week before that, I'm like, this is going to happen. Like, can you just please drop the fucking hammer?
Right.
And so I found out through the grapevine that it was going to happen on this particular day. Like, it was going to be April 7th. So I made sure everything was in line before that. I cleared out my office and all that because that morning, like the morning it started happening, I saw people walking out with huge backpacks. They're all carrying their manila envelope and they're just, it's like, I mean, it's a walk of death. You know, you see the hangdog look on everyone's face and you go, Jesus, this sucks. And I didn't get laid off till 1 in the afternoon. Oof. And so I showed up at 8 in the morning or even earlier than 8. I was there at like 7:30 and I said to my boss, I go, like, we had this consultant in town and I go, do you need me in these meetings? And he goes, no, you're all right. I go, okay, got it. And the problem was, though, it didn't happen until the afternoon. So all morning I have fucking nothing to do. I'm just sitting there because no one's giving me work, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, why would they start me? Here's a new project we want you to work on. Yeah, probably not.
Right.
So
they didn't give you any like crayons or anything, just like occupy
your
time.
Yeah. Here, John. Here's an extra saucer.
Right.
Enjoy your morning.
Some popsicle sticks and glue.
Yeah.
Make
yeah.
a log cabin.
Yeah. Make a picket fence for us. So I got called up by our VP, and he said, John, can you join us 2 floors above for a meeting with me in HR? And I go, okay. Here we go. And so I went up the stairs. I sat down. There was an HR lady in there that I'd never met, never seen before. Have you guys seen Up in the Air with George
yeah.
Clooney?
Yeah. Did they give you that speech?
It was almost exactly like that.
Oh.
He goes, it was so antiseptic, which in a way, I mean, that's kind of like, it's almost like medical bedside manner. You know, in a way, I appreciated that because I don't need a lot of emotion, a lot of histrionics. And like, I know my history with this person and
yeah.
it's been colorful. I'll put it to you that way. And so he said, John, as you know, the company's been going through some restructuring, and as a result, your position is no longer available. And I go, wow, position no longer available. It is just like, the real life is like the movies. And he goes, your position is no longer available. This is, I don't even remember her name now, from HR. She's going to walk you through your package, your benefits, et cetera. And so she took me through that. She gave me all the info. And after that, I turned in my key card, my badge, you know, all that. My company credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And, I said, thank you very much. And I walked out and my VP goes, really appreciate the way you handled this. And I'm thinking, what the fuck else am I going to do? Like,
yeah, what is throwing a fit?
Yeah,
do
like,
for anybody?
I'm sure
like, I would have loved to be Michael Douglas and falling down, but it just doesn't matter.
You should have gone through and just said, who's coming with me? Who's coming with me?
Oh, Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, yeah, just go. But somebody told me a good.
These fish have class.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody told me a good piece of advice is that 90% of what's said when somebody's hired or fired doesn't need to be said. So
no,
at least that
point.
Guy gave you the 10% that
yeah, no,
needed
totally.
To be said.
No, and I respect him for it. And, you know, everything went fine. The thing that I was not prepared for, though, was they said this guy who was on my team, he was chosen to, like, walk people out. And he's kind of a buddy of mine. And he's like, he's next door. He's going to walk you out. And I go, oh, man, it's got to be him. That sucks. And so he comes out and he goes, oh, geez, I didn't know you were my first. And he goes, that sucks. And he's like, I didn't know you were getting laid off either. And I go, well, trust me, I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to be just fine. And we walked down, but the thing I was not prepared for was I did one last sweep through my office. I treated it like a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you check all the drawers. It's like, did I forget anything? And do I have a phone charger in here or something?
Yep.
And he goes, do you want me to ship any of this? And I go, dude, I'm ahead of you here. Like, we didn't have anything, but I wasn't ready for the sad look on everyone else's face, which made me feel kind of good, though, because it's like they're sad that they're not going to work with me anymore. And I'm sad not to see them because, like, you know, I have great affection for the people that, you know, you cultivate these relationships and you go, oh, well, that sucks. I'm not going to get to talk to you as often as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel bad about that. And so that was the only point I got emotional. Because the rest of it, I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm going to go out of here with my head held high. I'm going to handle this with class. And then I'm going to, you know, dust myself off and take control of the narrative. But in that moment, you go, oh, wow, this is like one of the most real things I've ever felt. And so I know you went and got, you know, you went out and drank and came up with your brilliant business idea, which
yep.
I think we'll work on a little more.
Yep.
When you got the letter, were you at the Palm?
No, no. At the time, I didn't have a smartphone.
Okay.
I was going to ask you that. If you had to, like, log in
your
computer.
I did not get, I had to. So we went home, and honestly, it came as a 100% surprise. I thought I was safe. Like I said, I coached 2 sports. I was involved. I did everything I thought I needed to do. And I was like, well, I'll just check my email right before we go to bed just to make sure. So, no, I had to do a, like, thank God I didn't have dial-up. That would have been, but, you know, I had to
get
actually,
off the phone.
Like,
I'm trying to see if I got fired. Yeah.
So at least I, you know, I pulled out my computer, pulled it up, and there was an email on there. And I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
And it just, like, you know, there's no, in my mind, there's, and I've been let go from other jobs in similar situations.
Sure.
Either seasonal or things like that. And you saw it coming, but yeah. I did not see this coming at all. It was like the worst, that's the worst email you can get is when you have no idea that it's coming.
So what did you do immediately after that? Like, did you go get fucked up?
No, I went to bed. But, you know, it was.
I'm too neurotic. I don't think I could have slept, man.
I think, you know, I just was in complete and utter shock. And my future wife was there. We were engaged at the time.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I was like, okay, this is a great way to start a life together. Hey, I lost my job.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, that was, you know, and that was probably the hardest part. But yeah, I really didn't know how to react.
Yeah.
And I don't think I processed it really until, you know, maybe even a year later.
Oh, yeah. Cause I mean, you were subbing.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you're still in the shit. So you basically, you got to almost dwell in that feeling, right?
Oh, yeah. It was hard. And, you know, there was constant reminders of, and then it was really hard to, like, you know, they say, oh, it was just budget cuts and yada, yada. But there's a reason you kept, there were two other teachers who didn't have tenure that they kept. Yeah. And, you know, you're constantly comparing yourself to them.
Yeah.
And then every little thing they do wrong, you're like, really? You kept them?
Yeah, totally.
You know, it's like, all right, you know. So, you know, it really took me a long time. And I had to actually have a sit down with the principal and just let it out and have the, like, the half-baked fuck you, sure. You're cool, I'm out moment.
Right.
Yeah. And just, like, say, like, this is how I feel. This is how this made me feel. And this is, like, I told him flat out, I feel blackballed. And he's like, well, let me know if I can do anything to help you get a job. Well, clearly 7 years later and I don't have one. So obviously that tells you what happened. So
was when you sort of had your conversation, letting out your feelings and, you know, just sort of laying it on the line outside of, let me know if there's anything I can help, which, let's admit that is such an empty fucking platitude. Oh, yeah.
Aside from giving my job back.
Yeah. How was the reaction to it?
I think, you know, I had a good enough relationship with him at the time that I think he just kind of knew that I just needed to unload, and he went into punching bag mode and didn't say anything. And just, like, you could see on his face that he's like, just let me have it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And so I think, you know, that was what felt good about it to me, was that he recognized that all I needed to do was let it out.
Yeah. Well, that's good then. I mean, that at least shows some managerial skill. The HR lady who, you know, walked me through the benefits and stuff, she had a lot of, like, she sort of trembled in her voice a little bit. And I could tell she'd emotionally been through the ringer that day.
Oh, yeah.
And I think with some of the folks who didn't see it coming, like, they, you know, they may not turn into Zach Galifianakis at the beginning, or like J.K. Simmons, remember, in Up in the Air. But I'm sure some people just broke down and couldn't take it. And I, like, in that moment, I almost felt bad for her, you know, because it's like, this is a bad position to be in, to have to let go of this many people. That's, I mean, for as bad as it is for all the employees, you're the one who has to do it. That sucks. I mean, that's got to be a bad feeling. So, Kyle, on your team, when you left Yahoo, how many survived?
There were four that survived, the two managers and two other salespeople.
Gotcha.
And then and then we were all gone.
Okay. So after you sobered up, probably had a nice hangover.
Yep.
What came next for you? You said you got back into oil and gas, right?
But, I did.
But did they give you a package?
They did. They gave me Yahoo was super generous. They gave me like a 3-month package.
Nice.
And I still had insurance through them. And so I had a buffer, you know, so like got super into like Lego games on Xbox.
Oh, nice.
I highly recommend that for the laid off person. I just started working. I just treated it like a sales job. I started prospecting.
Right.
I started hammering, you know, and I was very much, I had an office at my house. And so I just stepped in there for like 4 hours a day and just hit it. And the way it ended up working is I was networking and I found that there was a guy starting his own company. And it was fairly fortuitous. I'd been on a couple of interviews and, you know, been through some really unpleasant experiences. And it just, you know, it was, I went to one, oh, they, Yahoo had me go to this class, you know, for like laid off people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, okay, here's how you do your resume. And I decided to take full advantage of those benefits. And And, you know, that was helpful. At least gave me guidelines for how to rewrite it. Had a couple interviews. They didn't go quite well. And then I somehow got a phone number of a guy who I knew was starting up a company. Yeah. And he said, I'm starting up a company, but I can't hire you until September. And that was when my severance was going to pay out. So I said, so I've got 2 months paid, and then I just got 2 months to kind of hang out.
Yeah.
So I did. I went like super, super hippie, as was in Oregon. I like hiked in the mountains with my dog and grew a beard and just kind of hung out.
Wow.
When I started my new job, it was like...
Wait, so you got laid off at the beginning of summer, basically?
Yeah.
Righteous.
Yeah, it was like not too bad.
It's like a summer break.
Yeah, kind of. Maybe it was 4 months. It's something anyways. I did that. And then when I started the new position, I remember thinking of this analogy. Like, if I'm in a plane right now and this is a startup, if I weld the door shut and I have not the option to jump out, if failure is no longer an option with this company, what am I going to do there? Because I've already failed. I mean, I've already gotten to the point where it's like, you know, you're laid off. And that really helped, and it was really empowering. I was worried about some of the stigma, and you probably dealing with some of your sales guys. You know that, you know, your swagger, your confidence is a huge part of where it's at. I mean, nobody wants to go to prom with, like, the nervous guy with sweaty hands as it showered for 2 days.
The stink of desperation on people it is off-putting in business, relationships, anything.
Everything. And so it was oddly motivating to be able to do, and then I went on and did that. But it's always in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
Even I'll even talk my, it's always that knowing that you've been through that, it's always in the back of your mind. And it does have some reverberating effects to know like, oh, I could be in that situation again. And, you know, luckily I got through it, but, it was, you know, that was some scary stuff.
Does that make you, cause you're in sales now.
Yep.
Does that make you more conscientious in terms of your client services?
At times, yeah, it definitely does. It can help, but it can also hurt in a way. So you really have to learn how to block that out and understand that, okay, I've been through that experience. And, you know, every sales guy's always, you've always got ups and downs. It's just the business.
Yeah. You got to ride it out. Yeah. You got to, my friend Jamie has this analogy about, I can't remember what we were doing, but I think this applies to business. Oh, I remember what it was. We were at a bachelor party. And one of the things we did was we went down to that alligator farm down by, like, the sand dunes.
Yeah.
Where the hell is that? That's, like, way south, right? And one of the guys who was doing the alligator thing, he was trying to catch the alligators, but he was, like, so stupid the way he was approaching it. And my friend Jamie turns to me and he whispers, he goes, have you ever seen a dog try and sneak up on like, a goose? And, like... they'll do it, and then they'll start barking and chase it away.
Yeah.
I find that's what people do a lot in business. It's like, okay, I got it in my sights. Yeah. And it's like, holy shit, easy! And everyone runs away. I mean, in terms of this, another analogy, I don't know why I'm throwing these at you, but you got to not grip the club too tight.
Yeah. Right?
Like, if you're playing golf, like, don't grip the club so tight, relax, let it come. It'll be fine. Right.
And that's like good to do when you're in your job search, when you're looking at for a new job, but it's hard. It's hard to get that stigma out because somebody chose you and said, we don't want you employed here. And it's tough to get over that, but you can't buy into it because it's just BS. And you know, a lot of people have been through it and a lot of successful people have been through it, but it's tough. It's tough to get through that stigma.
Well, yeah. And I mean, people will bring up the example of Abraham Lincoln a lot, who lost like 10 elections before he even like won any elected office. So you only fail if you stop trying. And so, I mean, it's important to go, okay, I'm not going to let these people define me or my value. So I'm no longer at this company. That just means there's different opportunities out there for me.
And the hardest part too is that if you do get an offer, because I had gotten an offer from a company, it was a super lowball offer and I'm glad I didn't take it, but you're at a point where you're just like, it's a job.
Yeah.
I kind of need it. How am I going to turn it down? And that's the tough part is still maintaining that confidence in negotiation and not completely giving it up so they can just lowball you.
Right.
That's another hard part when you go out and look.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. So Neil, after a year of subbing here, you obviously needed to shift gears and I mean, none of these interviews were going very well. How did you decide to transition into what you're doing now?
Well, Nicole was pregnant was the main thing.
So that's quite the motivator.
Yeah. I mean, substituting, there were some months where I made $300 in a month.
Yikes.
It's terrible. I don't know how people do it as a full-time job. I have...
Like, okay, so $300 a month. How many classes would you be subbing then?
Well, it's like... So you get paid, depending on the district you work in, you get paid between $80 and $120 a day. And then taxes and everything else comes out of that. And that was a low point. But also, I had gone back to school. I'm finishing up my master's right now. And I think that...
Nice. In what?
History.
And what's your focus?
British Imperial History. Okay, so 19th century Britain.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's... and that was... I figured that was the probably the best part of getting laid off was that it gave me the kick in the ass to go back and do that. And,
yeah.
So I'll finish that up and, you know... Hopefully that'll make me a little more marketable back into the education field.
But sure.
I'd always worked outside and worked with my hands, did landscaping growing up, carpentry, all that stuff. So I figured, you know, I'll just look for construction jobs. And there weren't too many going on. And one of my buddies had worked for Select and said, well, just fill out an application. We're always hiring. It was in Greeley. I live in Denver. I didn't think it'd be, you know, I didn't think they'd hire me. And I went on the interview and the guy was like, you're literally the only person with a college degree that I've interviewed ever working at this company.
Wow.
And it's like, basically you have the job if you want it. They worked around it and I wasn't at the point to turn a job down.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've done it and 5.5 years later, here I am.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's obviously not the thing I want to do till retirement, but it's, you know, it's paying the bills right now. It's a good job. I'm not in the position to, and I'm still looking. It's just a lot harder. And, you know, I think for me, I've never been great at sales. If I had to, if I had a job that I had to rely on commission, I'd starve. And I know that about myself.
Sure.
And so it's hard for me to, because really, like you said, job searches is selling. You're just selling yourself.
Yep.
And I've never been good at job searches. It took me a long time to find my first teaching job out of college. And also, too, I think the hard part is they only hire once a year.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah. And what point in the year is that?
It's usually around this time. So right before the end of the year, and then they'll hire into summer as people leave.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it's pretty much April to July is the hiring season. And so that's hard too. It's just, you have, if you don't get one that time, you got to wait a whole another year.
Yeah.
And so, it, you know, it's been hard, but like I said, it's, you know, it's a good job and I'm not going to turn it down. The hardest part for me, though, is feeling like you're the smartest person in the room a lot. And that's the hard part for me. But, you know, I just thought, you know, kind of went back to my roots a little bit and just worked with my hands. Whenever I describe my job to people, I just basically say I'm a mechanic. I fix a lot of different equipment.
Yeah, yeah. Much.
And so, you know, that's, there's some parts about that that I really appreciate of, like, you know, hitting a problem head on and fixing it and doing that. So I just, you know, I get a lot of enjoyment out of my job. It's just not what I want to do forever.
Yeah, no, of course not. One of the things that I'm struck by that you both said was as soon as you get laid off, and this happened to me too, it's like, okay, well now I am no longer obligated to go to this job that I'm getting whatever level of satisfaction that I had, right? Whether that's high, medium, low, whatever. But now you're put to a decision point and you go, what do I actually want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you sort of, you know, Kyle, you had a few months. Neil, you had a few months. I have a package. And you go, okay, well, how am I going to use this time? And how am I going to, like, come out of the other end of this doing something that I really want to do? So ultimately, as you sort of reflect on it, I'll ask you both two questions. What was the most surprising thing about getting laid off to you? And then what was the best thing that came out of it for each of you? So whoever wants to take it first can go ahead.
I would say the surprising thing and a bit of irony is I was working for a job search engine. So, I was selling job advertisements and on a job board for my job, and then I end up on a job board to look for a job.
Okay.
So there was a bit of irony. I mean, you learn how to navigate.
You're through the looking glass at that point.
Yeah, right? Completely. I think it's the surprising thing was just the I don't know, just how different the world looks to you when you wake up, that not necessarily that next morning, but that next week, and realize this is going to be life. And it's not as cool as you think it is.
Right.
Like, it's not as cool to sit around and just do nothing. That's not, at least, I mean, for me, that was,
right.
You get to a certain point where you've played all the video games you can afford.
And right.
Yeah.
You know, it's much better to, like, have a steady flow of income and only have a certain level of time for recreation, because at least then you can afford the recreation. That was what I found.
Right, like, you need more steak, less sizzle.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I was to the point where I was just kind of wear jellies and go buy milk at Ralph's, you know, just like recreate the dude from the Big Lebowski. But yeah, so it was just, the surprising thing was just, you know, I guess the irony of it, and then, you know, just, wow, just how everything changes so quickly.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's so funny. I think most people underestimate how interesting they are. Because it's like, yeah. It's like, I have all this time now. And then you go, oh shit, how am I going to fill the day? And, you know, a lot of people don't, you know, don't necessarily have the level of interest to where they can fill the entire day.
Mm-hmm.
You get to a point where you go, okay, I'm at maximum capacity here. I need some help filling the day, which is really funny. But, Neil, what about you?
Well, I'm not sure what the most surprising thing was. I was a little, I guess, surprised at how the whole situation was handled.
Yeah. Probably the punch in the face for you.
Just how the whole, I think that was probably the most surprising. Probably the best thing that came out of it, though, was, like I said, it was just kind of that impetus to do something better.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of the way I've taken a lot of jobs that have ended for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Is that it ended for a reason. What's my reason going to be? And, you know, for me, it was going back to school and finding my passion again for the actual nuts and bolts of history and,
sure,
you know, getting back into that and really finding that goal in life again. And I realize it's going to take a long time to get where I need to be, but at least I have that sort of goal. I mean, I could have very easily been one of those guys that just taught at the same school for till retirement and done what I needed to do and, you know, all of that. But I'm glad that in the long run, I'm glad that I got pushed back into school.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good, man.
And so I think, you know, it's just, you got to find what your new purpose is and that kind of thing. So.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. How are you, you know, as you reflect on it, what do you think about your former employers?
I thought it was all right. I mean, it was obvious. You know, I didn't really have any ill will. It was just like, hey, this market's there. You run a business. If I went and opened my own business, I would have made the same decision.
Right.
I was actually shocked that I got a severance package because I'd never been laid off. So I was like, oh, okay. They like actually put a mat down for you when they push you off the building, you land on a soft thing for a little bit.
Right, right.
So I had you know, no ill will to it. I thought they provided me with all the resources that was there. And so, you know, that helped. There wasn't a lot of sting with that.
Okay, good. Neil?
I had quite a bit. Yeah. My experience was completely different than yours, and I think it was partially in how I was handled, partially in that I still had to go every day for 3 months and just face that every day. And then partially, too, I think no matter what anyone that is in education tells you, you get emotionally attached to your students.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you shouldn't be in it.
Right.
And I, you know, and so, you know, the ones that I cared about and that, especially the age group that I taught, like they still had a lot of growing up to do and I was sad I wasn't going to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And it probably took me, you know, the class that I had when I was let go, it took me until they graduated to really forgive and move on.
Yeah.
Just let that whole thing go. And I have, you know, I have a lot of anger towards my principal at the time and my department head at the time. And, you know, we have some mutual friends based on just working.
Of course.
Through, you know, you get close with coworkers. And if I ever am in the same room with her again, I won't be, you know, because I just don't trust what I'll say.
Yeah,
and there's been a lot of other things that have gone on that have forced me to just, you know, I just kind of block it out now and just move on. But it took me a solid 2 years to really get over it.
Yeah. Wow. That's one of the reasons I wanted to have multiple people here because everyone's experience is so different. And I don't harbor any ill will towards my former employer at all. Hopefully, I don't really care. I don't work for them anymore. How they respond to me doing this so quickly after getting laid off from them, but whatever, it doesn't matter. They really have no say over what I do anymore.
Right.
But it's interesting just how differently it can unfold. So I think I want to wrap up with this question. A piece of advice you both give to someone experiencing a layoff and to anyone who has to do a layoff, like what would be the best way you could treat someone on the way out? Like what is the best tip you could give them if they have to let go of employees? So best tip for someone experiencing it and best tip for someone having to actually do it.
I would say experiencing it would say, you know, just staying as positive as you possibly can, and understanding that if you buy into that negativity that is so much around you, that it's really not going to lead into anything.
Right.
Like, you would not go to an interview without showering, but you have to, like, emotionally shower to get that stank off of you, like, that negativity, that, because it'll come out in your voice, because they're going to ask you about it. And they're going to, and if you show any ill will or nasty emotion to it, it's, they're going to jump all
over
that.
That's like poison, right?
It's completely poisonous. Yeah. And so that's the hardest thing. As far as laying somebody off, I would just say, here's a Band-Aid on your hairy arm. So I'm going to do one thing. I'm going to remove it slowly, or I'm just going to remove it really quickly. Yeah. And I would just say, just get to that 10%.
Yeah.
Get to that 10%. Treat people well. Hand them a severance. Understand they have families. Show empathy, but get it done quick, because the longer you drag it on, I mean, good Lord.
Three months.
That's
dude,
just
fuck
that's
that.
The worst thing I've ever heard about somebody being fired.
Yeah, me like, too.
I would give them the opposite advice of what that
oh, that's
what your experience
what I
was
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
My thing for somebody experiencing it is just, like, let it roll off your back. You know, there's a reason that they chose you over somebody else, but so what?
But that's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant, and you just need to move on and get back into it. And I think that I didn't allow myself to do that.
Right.
And I think that had I allowed myself to do that, I may be in a different point.
Hmm.
And, you know, I think the quicker you can take that emotional shower, the better.
Yeah.
And also, I would say, for somebody in that situation, I would have handled it exactly the opposite way.
Yeah, totally.
I think it needed to be a face-to-face conversation for the initial contact.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to just send a mass email and just completely emotionally unattach yourself from the situation. And then when it comes to that actual conversation, I think leave the emotions out of it. I don't care how much you care that I'm leaving. I really don't.
No, that's
because if you cared at all, I would still be here.
That's,
and I just say, get to the 10%. Say, this is your next step. This is where you're at. And don't even ask me if I have any questions. Just tell me what you need to tell me.
Right.
Turn around and leave.
Well, yeah, it's, as I heard you both describe this, do you guys see Moneyball?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember like the scene where he makes Jonah Hill?
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly how I would tell people. Yeah.
Carlos, you've been traded to the Tigers. Please contact this man.
Here's
the
traveling
secretary for the team. We wish you the best. And he's like, these guys are professional ball players. Just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
We're all professionals here. We're all men and women. You know, we're adults.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't handle it as an adult, then they were probably right to let you.
Right.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's really good. And the only thing I'd add is figure out the way to take control of your own story, which is, you know, what I tried to do. You know, you get let go. So what? That doesn't define you. Your next step is your next step. You will make it. You'll be great. Try to keep your chin up. You know what? Fuck it. Feel bad about it if you want to. But feel bad about it for like a day or two.
Exactly.
But make it work. Like, go to a bar, get really drunk, come up with a stupid ass idea, and get it out of the way, because you don't want to be Johnny 3 o'clock with, you know, five beers deep every day. You just don't want to get into that situation.
Fuck that.
It's just a death spiral.
Yeah. No, absolutely. All right. Well, guys, I'll tell you what. We're at time here. This was fantastic. And so thank you both for being willing to share your stories. And I got a lot of value out of this. I'm sure everyone listening will. And I hope no one has to go through it if they can avoid it. So this is the time in the show where we plug anything. Do either of you have anything you want to plug? I mean, usually I'm talking to people who are trying to sell something or, you know, get eyes on a project. But if you guys want to plug something, go ahead.
If you've been laid off, you should go to Renegade Brewery. They make great beer.
Oh, I'm sure they appreciate that.
Yeah. They have 9th and Santa Fe.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Go to Renegade. Also, listen to my episode with Brian O'Connell, which aired a few weeks ago.
It's a good episode.
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic episode. Neil, anything?
I got nothing.
Okay, fantastic. Well, then for Neil, I'll say go Cubs.
There you go. Go Cubs. This welcome to next year. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. They're looking good this year. I'm optimistic about what Theo and company are doing for them. So,
yeah.
Anyway, thanks a lot for being here, guys.
Yep. Thank you, John.
Thanks for having us.
And that wraps up the Laid Off special of the John of All Trades podcast. Episode 56 was a good one. Big thanks to Kyle and Neil for being willing to share their stories with me and talk about what it was like to get laid off. You know what? It's kind of an intense experience. It's a super weird thing to go through no matter what the circumstances are, whether, you know, it's the quick sort of 10%, Band-Aid, very corporate, very sort of rehearsed speech, or a fucking blind copy of an email sent Friday night at 7 p.m. Gross. Anyway, Those experiences, all valuable, and I'm happy to be able to share them with you. So, I move on. It's time to do something different. And that something different is Deft Communications, DEFTCOM.US. Got to focus on it for a couple of weeks. Got to sort of figure out how I spend my days, how I structure them. I'm home a lot more. I get to spend more time with the girl, spend more time with the wife. It's fantastic. So, podcast is going on brief hiatus. I will have an announcement probably next week about that. Could be 2 weeks, could be a month, could be longer. I doubt it, but you never know. Could be. So, in the interim, go back, check out the archives. I have every episode at johnofalltrades.us, johnofalltrades.us. Feel free to take a look at those. Catch up on any you may have missed. And then we'll be back whenever we're back. So, for the foreseeable future, I say this to you, and I mean it sincerely. Thank you for listening. Say goodnight, folks.